Now, what is the great theme of the book of Deuteronomy? May I say to you, this I'm sure is going to surprise some of you, but we have here the great theme is love and obey. And that I know is going to be startling to some folks because they say, you don't mean to tell me that there's love back this far. Yes, there is. This book teaches man to love and to obey God. The word love occurs 22 times, and the word obey occurs 10 times. You see, the motive for obedience is love. And the Lord Jesus, he wasn't attempting to give you something brand new, but he's giving you something very important and something that was an eternal truth. He said, you remember, if ye love me, keep my commandments. The true motive for obedience, you see, is in this book of Deuteronomy. We're going to see it when we get to it. God's love for man is the motive for his government and the giving of laws. And man's love of God is the motive for his obedience. Now, this is not the gospel, but the great principle of it is here. And I think we'll get probably a proper perspective of the law here. And let's understand one thing. The law is good. Then somebody says, then you are the one who emphasizes so much on the radio that we're saved by grace and we can't be saved by law. Yes, my friend, I emphasize it and I overemphasize it and then I overemphasize it again because God can't save you by law. Well, you're saying now the law's good. Sure, the law's good. You know where the trouble is? The trouble is with you and with me. I had another conversation with my daughter, and she went on to say, and this is what she got in college. She says, now, Dad, you know, democracy is probably the best form of government that there is. But today, it's in trouble. And then she went on to mention certain things that these kids are taught today in college, you know. And so I said, I agree with that to a certain extent. I says, actually, democracy is a good form of government. And I said, a monarchy is a good form of government. And actually, a dictatorship is a good form of government. She looked at me in amazement. She says, why, I never thought you'd say that. I said, the trouble is with man. The trouble is in the human heart today. And it's not the form of government that is wrong today. The trouble in Washington is not that we need more legislation. We need less legislators. And after all, laws are good. God gave them because he loved man. And laws actually are not made by dumbbells in Washington. Laws are eternal, and they come from God. But you see, the blessing comes in keeping those laws. This is a marvelous book we're coming to, by the way. Now, we have here a new generation has arrived on the east bank of the Jordan River, and it's 1 month before they're going to enter the Promised Land. And those of the generation which had left Egypt, they were dead and their bones were bleaching beneath the desert skies because of their unbelief and disobedience. They had broken God's law. Those were sins of commission. They had failed to believe God. Those were sins of omission. You see, unbelief is sin. And the law was weak through the flesh. It was the flesh that was wrong. They were wrong, as we are today. And that's the reason God has to have an altogether different basis on which he saves us. But let's understand, laws are good, friends. This idea that you get rid of laws, that's entirely wrong. Now, Moses gives to this new generation his final instructions from the Lord before he relinquishes his leadership of the nation through death. He reviews the desert experiences. He reemphasizes certain features of the law. He reveals their future course in the light of the Palestinian covenant that God had made with them relative to that land. We're going to see in this book, friends, that the Mosaic Law was not only given to a people, it was given to a land also. And then he teaches them a new song. And he blesses the 12 tribes, and then he prepares to die. A requiem to Moses concludes the book. Now, this new generation was unfamiliar with the experiences of Mount Sinai, and they needed to have the law called to their attention and interpreted in the light of their experience and their future dwelling in the promised land. Therefore, this book of Deuteronomy has been the very center of attack by the critic. I wonder if you've noticed that. The authorship of this book was first challenged. The original criticism was that Moses could not have written it because there was no writing in existence in Moses' day. Now, that has subsequently been soundly refuted. The critics stated that the purpose of the book was to glorify the priesthood at Jerusalem, but neither the priesthood nor Jerusalem is even mentioned in the book of Deuteronomy. The very interesting thing, this is known as the Graf-Welthausen hypothesis that came out of Germany years ago and is still being peddled in many of our seminaries as something new today. I don't know why, but they do it. Now, the probable reason, I think, for the satanic attack that's been leveled upon the book of Deuteronomy is that the Lord Jesus Christ quoted exclusively from this book in beating back Satan's temptation. Little wonder that Satan hates the book. You remember in the first temptation why we find him quoting from Deuteronomy 8:3. And when we get to these passages, I will call attention to them, and I'll not turn to them now. But did you know for each one of the three temptations he quoted Deuteronomy? And no wonder the devil hates the book. Now, Deuteronomy exalts the Word of God. That is important to see. He says in Deuteronomy 6:7, "Thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, when thou risest up." The importance of the Word of God. Friends, it's not the Bible you carry under your arm that is important. It is the Bible that you open before your eyes and study and read it. And the Old Testament prophets quoted from Deuteronomy frequently, and there are 80 references to it in the New Testament, so it must be important. Some very striking features about the book of Deuteronomy, and I'll call attention to them when we get to them.